This is Lenny Winterstrom, Common Sense Health Expert, and welcome to the Wild and Free Healthy You podcast. Without your health, there isn't much joy in life. We talk about all facets of health, including lots of unconventional strategies, tools, and solutions from a holistic point of view. This podcast is all about inspiration, motivation, and expansion of your mind, your body, and your spirit, because your health is your number one asset. I want to make it easier for you to keep it that way. Now, on to the podcast. This podcast does not provide medical advice. The purpose is to promote consumer knowledge and information on various health topics. Always seek the advice of your qualified health practitioner.
Thank you, everybody, for joining the Wild and Free Healthy You podcast. And we have Eurosimos with us. Eurosimos is a transformational body worker who supports his clients in releasing trauma, stress, and toxicity from their bodies, nervous systems, and their lives. He guides his clients through a process of separating from and releasing that which does not serve them and helps them reclaim the parts that will allow them to embrace their power more fully. So Eurosimos, that's like a bunch of stuff. You know, I mean, that's like, that is so, like, there could be, that is so, not general, but there's just so much in there, so much power in there. And one of the reasons I wanted to interview you for my listeners is because I understand how critical, and it really is critical for the body, that body work is. And when you talk about releasing trauma, that's something that I learned about in from my former health coach and mentor, who is your client and friend, I believe, Elwin Robinson. And when he had you on his, not podcast, but in an interview, he, I was just like, oh my gosh, this guy, I have to talk to this guy, because Elwin wouldn't fly all the way from the UK or Portugal, I don't know where, but all the way to LA for Eurosimos, because Elwin is very much into high energy and having the highest vitality possible. So I knew that's like, I need to talk to Eurosimos. So tell us, like, what is transformational body work in a nutshell? What is it that you do for people?
Well, I guess, you know, again, in a nutshell, you explained it, but I go deep into the body to really help move blood, lymph, and stagnant energy so a person can ultimately have more mental clarity, feel more present, have more physical self-awareness, and release things that have been trapped in the body over time due to trauma, due to repressed emotions, so a person can be more fluid in their life. So, you know, people are familiar with certain forms of body work, massage, etc. But the work that I do is really unique in that we go really deep and engage the pain that's stored in the body. So in some conventional modalities, they shy away from engaging with the pain. But in my opinion, even when you talk about things from a psycho-emotional standpoint, our pain points are our growth points. And so by going into the pain that is held in the body and combining it with really, really deep conscious breath work, some very powerful things can happen. Emotions can be released. Trauma can be released, and a person can have a completely new sense of how they feel in their body, how they look at the world, how they take in information through their senses. And so that's a kind of a general idea, and it's rooted in traditional Chinese meridian theory. So if you're familiar with acupuncture, there's 12 main energy channels in the body. Mm-hmm. And as we learned in, you know, in some, there's some research out there saying that the meridians are stored within the fascia. And a lot of the meridian points are located where fascial planes, fascial lines intersect. And so by altering the structure of the fascia and helping blood and lymph move through the body, energy is released. And it's just a real powerful thing. The combining the breath work with the body work can produce some powerful results.
So what is fascia, or you say fascia? So what is that, and why is it important for people to understand?
Well, fascia is like that web-like connective tissue that is everywhere in the body. It surrounds your muscles, organs, your tissues, And what can happen is that fascia can get really, really dense. It can get really dry, and it can really impact the way we move. It can impact how blood and lymph flows through the body, how electromagnetic energy flows through the body. So think of it simply, I like to think of pain in a simple way being where there's pain, there's no flow. And again, from a Chinese medicine standpoint, think of the body as having these three rivers, blood, lymph, and bioelectricity. And so when there's pain in the body, it's kind of showing up that and that there's stagnation in these rivers of blood, lymph, and bioelectricity. And so I go in there to really help move that and get those rivers flowing.
So now I know what the fascia is, and I understand that. One of the interesting, have you heard of eccentrics? Like the training?
It sounds familiar. It does sound familiar.
So eccentric movements, but it's basically a combination of ballet and Tai Chi.
Okay.
And so it's using eccentric movements as opposed to simply concentric movements. And so the fascia can literally get bound up, correct? I mean, you said it gets dense and it can actually get bound up.
Adhesion.
So it gets like gluey. And when you talk about it getting dry, it's like, exercise is so important, right? Because isn't that what lubricates the fascia?
And movement helps lubricate the fascia. And you know, a lot of people lead these sedentary lives, and on top of it, they're eating really toxic foods, thinking toxic thoughts. And so, you know, our fascia is directly linked with our stress response. And so, you know, when cortisol is released in the body too, it's going to impact the fascia in a negative way.
I remember when I first learned about it, I was so, I was just blown away, like how critical that is to our health, because that conducts like, right, all the electricity and all the points. And when I had some body work done, I mean, all the points, literally the trigger points. So do you go after trigger points?
I can in certain areas. I tend to work on like the gross level of the tissue because I'm using my feet, the entire soles of my feet, and walking on a person with really deep rhythmic pressure while they're breathing. So I can work on certain spots with my hands in between certain parts of my session. Again, it all depends.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, the one main modality I use is the one where I'm using my feet with the pressure and walking in parts of the body that correlate with the Chinese meridians.
Well, where I was going with that is the how the body is so connected. It's a whole, I mean, I think we've been so, that we're all pieces and parts, right?
Yeah.
You go to one doctor for this and another for, you know, your gastroenterologist and enterologist and, you know, and your neurologist, and you go, just depends on your body part, but it's all interconnected. And your work is really amazing in that it's like the full body. And so explain, like, you were on another interview I was watching you and listening to you, and you were talking about how you walk on people. Cause when you say I walk on them, you know, it's like, well, how are you walking on them? And how, I don't think you're just like walking on fire like on rocks, but how do you do that? Like, what does a session with you look like?
Okay. Well, first when a person comes in, obviously we sit down, we talk a little bit about where they are, how they feel in their body, what their goals are, any pains they're feeling. You know, again, a lot of people come to me for a lot of psycho-emotional stuff too. They're feeling a little stagnant in their life. They've dealt with emotional trauma or sexual trauma. And so we'll have a quick little talk too. But with this kind of work, I think the power of it is it, in a sense, it bypasses the mind and goes directly into the body. And so after having someone for, you know, I usually start off a session, I have this really high and energy, powerful kind of vibration machine that I have people stand on for about like 10 minutes that helps kind of warm up the body for the work we're going to do, help move a little lymph and increase communication between the cells. Then I place them on the floor. I have a mat on my floor. They lay down to start on their belly.
Wait, can I ask you, what is that machine? Because that sounds super cool.
The one I have,
What does it do? Does it just get, does it put in electrons in your body or?
No, it doesn't. It's, you know, there's some people that can say you may be getting some, you know, negative electromagnetic frequency from it, but yeah. I think the benefits outweigh the potential negatives for the, you know, 5-10 minutes you're on it. And it's a plate. It's this machine that has this plate and you stand on it and it vibrates at different frequencies and intensities really intensely. So your body is just shaking really, really fast and subtle, or there can be, some more space between the waves of energy. And so it can just be more like that. And like when you talk, it has that kind of vibration, that vibratory.
It sounds like you're doing vibrato.
Something like that. So I think that's a nice warm up to kind of get the body in a place to receive this much deeper work. And I will have people on the floor, mm-hmm. and I have a walker. I literally have a walker that
I thought that was so cool when you said that.
I place right over the person's body. Now, you know, I'll prop up like the lower leg with some pillows. Cause when I start working on someone, I always start on the backs of the legs, which uh-huh. correlate with the bladder channel in the Chinese meridian system.
Okay.
And you know, there's reasons for that. The one reason is that it's the largest meridian in the body. It has the most acupuncture points. There's a lot of tissue in the backs of the legs and the calves. Also, due to gravity, a lot of stagnation can settle in the body. Toxins can settle in the lower part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also an emotional channel. So if you're looking at all 12 of the meridians, they also have, like, 3 of them are emotional, 3 of them are mental, 3 of them are physical, and 3 of them are spiritual or energetic. And they also have psycho-emotional traits associated with each one. Now, I won't go too deep into that right now. Yeah. But the bladder channel is all about emotional honesty. And in my opinion, a foundational piece towards transformation is a person becoming emotionally honest with themselves and with other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's where things can really start. So what I'll do is I'll, again, place my walker over them, and then I'll start walking 1 foot on each hamstring,
mm-hmm.
up and down the hamstrings, just like that.
Uh-huh.
And do is I'll engage with the person. I'll ask them this question. If 10 is pure pain, 1 is pure pleasure, and 5 is neutral, meaning there's no pleasure, there's no pain. It just feels like someone's walking on you, like pressure.
Mm-hmm.
What's your level of comfort or discomfort? They'll tune into their body and they'll give me a number. And I'll have them breathe relative to the number that they give me. So for instance, 5 would be just you're aware of your breath coming in and coming out. But as the pain increases, a person's breathing deeper and faster. And, you know, the breath helps oxygenate the system. It helps move energy. It creates a more healthy relationship with the sympathetic and parasympathetic systems in the body. And that's where, in my opinion and from my experience, is the breath with the deep body work. You're integrating the emotional body of a person, which is where the breath lives, with the physical body. And very often, emotions come up to the surface. It's an unconscious process that just happens. And sometimes it can last for 20, 30 minutes, like weeping and heaving and crying.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always happen because I think by nature, some people are more emotional than others.
Right.
And again, it depends on a person's level of toxicity, their history, etc. And so again, I'll start on the backs of the legs with 1-on-1 on the hamstrings. And then once the pain levels aren't, if they're not too high, I will, after like 5 minutes, I'll move to 2 feet on 1 hamstring and go even deeper. And so again, I'm going like 1-on-1, 2-on-1, 1 hamstring, 2-on-1, the other hamstring. And then I move down to the calves, which the calves tend to hold a lot of pain. They can be very tender. But again,
I was blown away in the interview when you talked about that, because, I do a lot of work in the gym, and the calves are always tender. Like it's always more difficult, and they fatigue much more quickly. I know they're a smaller muscle, but I mean, there's always some tenderness in there. And when I heard you on the interview talk about the calves, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I was kind of blown away by that. Explain that.
Yeah, well, I think again, gravity plays a role in it. And there's something I learned recently from functional patterns as a system that I'm getting more into, and I think it's cutting edge in terms of helping people alter their posture and move better and get out of chronic pain. And I had read somewhere in one of their articles where when core strength isn't how it should be, that people compensate with their lower parts of their body. And so that's where a lot of excessive pain or tender just can show up. That's one explanation that I've recently heard of. The explanation that is a lot more like true to me in terms of what I know, what I experience is, you know, if a person holds on to a lot of their emotions, if they don't express their feelings in a healthy way, they can get stored up in those lower, the lower parts of the body. A lot of sadness, a lot of anger can be held in the calves, in my experience. So again, when I think of health and even when I look at the body, it's usually a multifactorial, there are multiple things that are impacting a person, their diet, their nutrition, how they move, their emotional life, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Again, going back to the simplest thing is there's pain stored in the body. And I want to work with the person to engage that pain and help move whatever stagnant. Remember, blood, you know, when the pain is more fixed in stabbing, it's blood stagnation. Blood stagnation. When the pain is a little bit more dull and achy, it's more of an electromagnetic stagnation. A bioelectric stagnation.
That's interesting. Yeah, I never thought about it.
Engage the pain, breathe through it, get that tissue healthier, and you'll find over time that pain will dissolve and it will become pleasurable at some point.
And so who would seek you out for, I mean, if somebody has a chronic disease and they have like, I mean, so many people are so sick anymore with the, I mean, you're talking about food. I mean, genetically modified foods and the air that we breathe and all the chemicals we're breathing. God, the Wi-Fi 5G is coming. They're already looking at 6G in Japan or China somewhere. I read just the other day. I mean, it's like this stuff is like so toxic in our water. We've got fluoride and chlorine in so many places. And so we're already dealing with like this overload. And so many people that, women that I work with, they have eczema, psoriasis, they have whatever, you know, any bowel digestive issues, so many of them, which are all, you know, pretty much the same, just different manifestations. Is this that you work with psychological as opposed to physical or you do, I mean, it's trauma release, but yet a lot of these things are also, they're mental as well. They're emotional too. I mean, a lot of these things, they're not, I mean, we're fighting with all these chemicals and stuff, but they're also, it's trauma. And so, I mean, there's a lot of trauma. So like, would somebody that had like a chronic disease or something, if they felt like it was like, maybe they didn't even know, like some people, you don't even know what traumas you've experienced throughout your life. I think you were talking in one interview about, how you had the way you were born, had a traumatic delivery and were carrying that. And God, so many people have that anymore, cesarean births and everything else.
A lot of trauma that goes around the birth process.
Yeah. It's huge. And so who would go to you? Like, would somebody that had like a chronic issue or had eczema or psoriasis? I know these are physical; they're physical manifestations, but a lot of times they're also emotional, and this is how they're coming through.
The people that come see me, it's a really wide range. Mm-hmm. I've worked with some people with some chronic physical issues, and because from a disease standpoint. Let's go back to what I said about the three rivers in the body.
Okay.
So I mentioned this, I think I may have mentioned this in the other interview, but I remember when I was younger and going camping and I'm in the woods, I had people tell me, if you're going to collect water from a running river as opposed to from a stagnant pond, because if it's a stagnant pond, there's more opportunities for bacteria viruses, disease to manifest. So think of it in the same way as the body, is that we have these fluids running through our body that when they get stagnant, there's more opportunity for disease, discomfort, to manifest as well. And so with this deep form of body work and the breath work, we're moving that energy, we're moving that blood, we're moving that lymph, which plays such a huge role in our immune system. And so it can totally help a person that's dealing with certain chronic things. And the other thing that impacts people is posture. You know, your posture is going to impact how your blood vessels, how your lymph, like how your organs are functioning. So, you know, looking at tissue health and structural health as a foundational piece in one's health regimen, I think it's extremely, extremely important. And people are getting more hip to it. And they're realizing that, you know, they're not just going to fix their issues by just eating the right foods or just going to see a psychotherapist. You have to tackle it from so many different angles. And I think the body is the one piece that kind of has been ignored. I mean, besides, you know, eating the right foods and that kind of thing, but it's been ignored in terms of what role can it really have on changing a person's physiology, deep body work, fixing your posture, and how then does that affect your psycho-emotional state and your level of stress and how you process things in life and how reactive you are to your environment. I think it's very, very important. So again, different people come to me for different reasons. Some people just go, someone texted me and said, I need to come see you. I'm having a rough time in my life. I feel really stuck. And so we'll go deep into the body. And a lot of times there's like a eruption, a volcanic eruption of emotion that has been locked in for so long. It's almost like a rebirth. Like after this process, you're like, what just happened? I mean, I know because I experienced it myself multiple times years ago when I got introduced to this kind of work. I remember being walked on and my pain levels were really high. And all of a sudden there was a release of energy or you could say emotional energy. And I was weeping and heaving for 30, 40 minutes. And there was no story attached to it. It wasn't like this thing happened to me.
It was just beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. You know, it was just like
the release.
And having enough awareness from my previous work and understanding like the nature of the human psyche, even when I was in that, I was like, wow, this is really good for me. But it was pretty intense, pretty powerful. So, physical issues, psycho-emotional issues. I think when you get the body flowing, some pretty magical things can happen.
Well, let's talk about trauma. So, my audience is women. So I want to talk about, you know, women go through, women's issues, just basically, whether it be rape or, whether they feel it's bullying or feeling, oppressed and just all the things that, women can go through. These are traumatic experiences, even like a car accident, right? But I'm just talking about emotional. And these are things that we know about, right? That maybe have happened to us. But how does what you do, like, first of all, I really kind of focus on unconventional ways because the conventional, I don't feel the conventional is really, really the unconventional, right? In the last 100 years, 200 years. Right. It's become that the doctors and we're all in pieces and parts and stuff. And we go to a psychotherapist and all kinds of stuff, to talk it out and all of that. I don't really think it's great to talk about stuff, but, how would you say that you are unconventional in how you work with people, as opposed to the conventional going and getting a pill for depression or, you know, just talking through things like how, and we've already kind of talked about it, but I just like want to put a spotlight on it.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting you bring that up. Cause I think we share, certain belief systems. I personally don't get too much into the, just cause of my scope of practice, I don't get too much into the diagnostic element of things. I think psychotherapy and talk therapy has its place and it's, and it's important. But again, when we're talking about trauma and someone who has not released trauma, that's an unconscious process. And so trying to tackle it through conscious means by analyzing it and figuring it out, it doesn't connect. And so that's why the body piece is really, really important. And, you know, the work of Dr. Peter Levine, one of his books that I recommend often is In an Unspoken Voice. And he goes really deep into that. He shares about an experience that he had and correlating it to animals in wild. In fact, I experienced it with our little puppy a few weeks ago, is that when animals go through a traumatic experience, right away, they have this unconscious shaking that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they discharge that kind of fight or flight energy. And humans.
And it leaves. Like it's gone.
It leaves. And then they're back. They're back.
They know more.
They know more.
Yeah. But they're not storing it in their tissues, in their body. Right.
Very, very true. And humans, now some humans do that, but it's a lot more challenging because, you know, a lot of people are taught in culture, in our culture is like, you know, don't be vulnerable. Don't be weak. Don't show weakness. Or don't express your emotions. Mm-hmm. And part of this unconscious process of releasing trauma is to allow your body to do what it needs to do unconsciously with that shaking process, the tremoring, and releasing whatever emotions that need to happen. And what happens often, even if you're talking about, you know, habitual abuse or sexual abuse, that there's literally, you know, being held down. A person isn't able to go through that process. So the body stores that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a main thing of working with someone who's been through trauma is understanding that and seeing them as a human being and being gentle. So even though my work can be really intense, it depends on the person and where they are in their journey. Now, if someone comes to me you can sense that they've been through a lot and they've experienced a certain high level of trauma, you know, I may be a lot more subtle with how I deal with them. And, you know, they may not be comfortable with touch to a certain degree.
Yeah.
So, but it's stored in the tissue. So I've found with the breathing and with the deep body work that it can induce this release of emotion and this release of that body kind of shaking energy. And I've experienced it, you know, firsthand with clients.
So, I did, I think, who was the person that you mentioned the book? What's his name?
Dr. Peter Levine.
Peter Levine. So did he have a course on a CD?
He may have. He's been doing this for 40 years.
I got a course, not a course, but just a CD. And this was probably like, I don't know, 5 years ago. And you put yourself up against the wall. And I mean, it's really hard. I mean, first you start with like your calves, you know, lifting up on your calves. And then you sit against the wall for like 5 minutes. And you're shaking, like you're shaking. And then you lay down. And then your body just starts going, you know, I mean, just like involuntarily. And is this what you're, cause I mean, it was crazy when I went through it on my own. Like I was like, wow.
You know, it's, you know, I think I know who you're talking about. I think, it's another doctor. I think he created a program called the trauma release process or something.
Yeah, it was the trauma release something. Yeah.
Trauma release process. I may have read it years ago And yeah, he works with the body to kind of induce that tremoring process.
Yeah.
Now, what I do does that a little bit. We're definitely digging in and going into the tissue to unlock those pockets of energy, that trapped energy. And when that happens, there is a very subtle, for some people, it's even great, like vibration that's going on in different parts of their body and throughout their body.
Mm-hmm.
And with some of the resistance work that I do, in addition to the stomping technique, as I like to call it, soma stomp technique.
Yeah.
There's resistance work where I'm taking muscle groups and their associated fascia through concentric, isometric, and eccentric contractions with resistance. And so the eccentric portion is kind of like, the stretch, but we're not overstretching because the person is contracting during the whole movement. And what that does is it helps reshape the fascia and release a lot of stagnation and help blood and lymph move. And through that process too, there can be subtle shaking. So again,
it's still releasing at the same time. So show me an eccentric movement. Show me what you did. Can you just like, is there anything that you can show me?
To see the movement Urosimos is demonstrating here, click on the show notes below for the link to check out the video on my YouTube channel, Lenny Motivates on YouTube.
I'll use this as an example, okay? I'm going to move my thing down. Again, I don't always do this with people, but see, you know, do you have the bicep here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if I'm putting pressure on the hand, on the wrist here,
right,
and I'm coming up, this is the concentric movement.
Right,
this
exactly.
This is where the muscle goes from long to short.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're still resisting but not moving. That's the isometric contraction, okay?
Okay.
And then if I'm resisting against my hand and pushing it down, this is the eccentric portion. And so what happens is while they're contracting and I'm pushing down, some of this connective tissue and these fibers, they get to open up a little bit. And there's Chinese meridians that run through different parts of the body. And so what we're doing is we're helping opening up the energy channels. And again, I keep coming back to this movement, helping blood flow and helping lymph flow. Those three rivers of energy, really, really important. Three rivers, really important for them to move because movement is the key.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like the eccentrics that I'm getting certified in, it's that's like that Tai Chi and ballet, and it's eccentric movements as opposed to just concentric, and it is literally moving the fascia. And is it fascia? Is that how you pronounce it?
I say fascia. I've said fascia before. I mean, you say tomato, I say tomato.
I've said it for so many years that that's really funny. Well, let me.
I said fascia, and then I think, I don't know, last year I heard someone say fascia, and then I started saying fascia. I use it interchangeably. Depends on my mood, I think.
That's so funny. So what could somebody, okay, so somebody could go, I mean, so we talked about the mental and emotional and even physical. So if somebody has pain in their body, I mean, you do a lot of trauma release, but you also do the physical, correct? So if somebody has, and one of the reasons why I started with talking about like in the beginning, I think I mentioned about like pain. Well, I was talking about, I had asked you about trigger points, but it's because the body, like it's so interconnected. And so when you touch one, I mean, there's referring patterns and stuff all over. And it refers. And so like when I was talking about asking you about trigger points, it's just because when I've had body work and you touch one part, like you feel it totally in a whole different area of your body. And it's like, oh my God, you know, it's like, I'm feeling that like down my leg and you're touching my, you know, somewhere here or you're pushing on something. And so if somebody has like pain in their bladder or that their groin area or something, and they're having all of a sudden then they get pain in their hip and their knees. And, so you work with that correctly? I mean, correct?
I do work with physical issues. But like, again, my expertise isn't in like solving like every single physical problem. I think there are other modalities out there that can support that. Like symptoms like functional patterns, they're reversing scoliosis. They're doing a lot of amazing things. And I have a basic understanding of that. And I'm learning more. Now I help people with back pain. I help people with other like kind of some joint issues. But if a person's complete posture is kind of, if they have a huge lordosis, which is excessive curvature in the lower spine, or kyphosis, which is a big curvature, or scoliosis, you know, the work I do isn't going to completely alter their posture. Now it can help for sure, especially the resistance movements. The resistance work that I do that I mentioned before, you know, I could work on different parts of the body, different parts of the legs, you know, and the hamstrings, hip flexors, glutes that are going to support that process. And you know, people come to me with some lower back pain as well. And I'll do a lot of work on the hip flexors.
Yeah.
And again, releasing the fascia is going to help as well, can help a person relieve some injury too. So the tissue work is the foundation. The tissue work is the foundation, in my opinion, and people going in there, whether they're working with certain practitioners like myself or other people that are skilled or doing things on their own. And I recommend people use various tools to release their fascia on their own in between sessions, or if I'm out of town, or even if they're not working with me. I think, you know, your issues are in your tissues. People have probably said that before.
but it is.
Very true.
I mean, they are. I wanted to ask you about that. So, like, there's the gua sha tool. And like you can put castor oil, right? And then just dig into scar tissue and literally you can break that stuff up, because you're talking about our bodies are, we're electrical beings, if you're not going away from the spiritual. And I mean, that stuff is just trapping. You're talking about the meridians and everything. And I mean, that's what you do, is release, right? You just get that energy flowing like cleanly through the body again, releasing trapped, whether they be emotions or traumas or, right? Is that?
It's very spot on. You know, we're helping move mental energy, emotional energy. You can say spiritual energy too. You know, but we're really helping. Again, it goes back down to movement, flow, yes. Flow. We want things to flow. When things are flowing, when a person's flowing inside of their body and they don't have that much pain stored in their tissues, they're more likely to not for things to flow in their external world and for pain to not really be there in their external life. Doesn't mean you're not going to have pain and go through the ups and downs and the waves of being human, but there's that idea of what's your inner frequency, what's your inner vibration, and then how is that impacting your life situation and the things that are being attracted to you? And they work hand in hand.
So is there, I'm kind of looking through my notes that I have questions for you. I have a couple of things that I want to get to before we end that. But so what happens is, so you, somebody goes in for a traumatic experience, say sexual abuse or something. And when you are able to help them to release that, because I know you're a facilitator and it's really their body doing the work, there's a disconnect, right? Like from the hippocampus or from that part of the brain that stores those things. How does that, like, so when there's a release, is it just gone? Because this is the one thing I've never quite understood about trauma release. Is that, and the experience isn't gone, right? Because you remember, but like the pain of it, what happens?
You know, I think it's a very tricky thing. I, you know, the science of it sometimes can go a little, sometimes over my head. I mean, I've read about it, you know, over the years. I don't think the memory leaves you, but your perception and your reaction to the memory shifts. And so that fight or flight kind of entered the sympathetic stress that's been stored in the body that wasn't released. When that gets released, it shifts the health of a person's nervous system. And so their ability to react differently to stressful situations in life changes as well. I don't think a person completely forgets the experience. Well, some people forget the experience when it happens, and then it can come up in any kind of healing process. You know, I've had a client who in a certain aspect of our work together, she remembered a sexual trauma she had when she was a child. And then I've also worked with a client, I don't know if I shared the story on the interview that you may have seen, where the first session I worked with her, I was going deep into the side of her leg with the Soma Stomp technique, and she was breathing really, really deeply, and then she started crying, and then I kind of stopped what I was doing, and I kind of went down by her side, I was holding space, and then her body was shaking, and then she shared something with me that she hadn't felt this shaking and this fear, this physiological experience of fear, since she was a child and she was repeatedly abused by a family member. And so her mind, through her, you know, her mind kind of came up with the story that she had dealt with it and she had handled this experience, yet her body told a different story.
And where is she today? Is that like now, like she remembers, but yet it's not traumatic.
It's not the same way, but a person sometimes they don't know. Remember, you don't know something until you know it. And so after this experience happens, you know, you relate differently to the world. I mean, a lot of times it's like this weight is lifted off your shoulder.
Yeah.
When this, you're talking 20, 30, 40 years, sometimes this blocked emotion or blocked energy or fear that's stored in the body that gets released, it can have a huge impact on a person's life.
Oh, huge.
So one of the main things that people tell me that work with me for a while, or even after a few sessions, but I personally like to work with a person, you know, at least 5 to 10 times if they're able to, if not more, is that they feel much lighter. They're less reactive to the things in their external reality. The stuff that used to trigger them doesn't trigger them like it used to. They feel more present. They have more mental clarity. I mean, these are byproducts of going deep into your body, into yourself, and dealing with things that perhaps your conscious mind doesn't want to deal with.
Yeah.
Yet we go directly into the subconscious, into the body. And by altering that and shifting that and facilitating these kinds of releases, they transform a person's psycho-emotional state and their mental and emotional presence in life.
Yeah, no, I agree. I get that hugely. So, I want to ask another question it's funny that you touched on that. I mean, I know that there's something like within me because I'll get like these, I'll just be coming home from the gym. It's like, it happens kind of a lot. And I'll just be driving home and I'll be like so feeling so good. And then all of a sudden I just feel like crying and I'll get like tears well up, and then they go away and I just kind of start laughing at myself. Like, where'd that come from? And sometimes I try and like let it out and it's like, there's not really any more to let out. And I have no idea like what that is. It's like the weirdest thing. You have any idea?
If I understand what you're saying is that, you know, I think the body has an intelligence that it goes back to equilibrium. So a person who lets, you know, there are a lot of people who are afraid of letting out an emotion, or they're not even conscious of it because there's this fear that they're never going to stop. The crying's never going to stop, but that doesn't happen, you know? And so I'm an advocate of expressing your emotions in a healthy and safe manner. And so I think crying is a beautiful thing. And if you can induce crying by listening to a song that you love, or watching a movie that stirs up emotions, I think it's really, really valuable in our nonstop distracted society, go, 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 type A Western mindset. How often do we have the opportunity to just settle and be with ourselves and allow the natural uprising of these emotions? Because we're usually distracting ourselves from our vulnerability, because it feels a lot safer to be in a much more certain, controlled, powerful mindset.
I agree hugely. I mean, I'm all about self-love and self-care. And that's one of the things that I preach. And I really try and turn that preaching around to myself all the time, because it's really key to health.
Charity starts at home, you know, like you gotta take care of your vessel. So hopefully you can support other people with a full tank of gas, with a healthy, with self-love. And you know, it's really important.
Erasmus, that was beautiful right there. And I would end it on that note, but I have to ask this question because I just.
Ask as many questions you want.
I don't have the answer to this, but I've always wondered about people who are getting all these tattoos and everything. I mean, does that not interfere with fascia at some level and with the conductivity? And I mean, it just, besides the ink being toxic, it really concerns me for, you know, this generation and future generations that, you know, I mean, I should just ask you, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is a tricky topic. I don't have any tattoos. I have many friends who have lots of tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I've heard a few like health experts talk about it. I don't know if you know Dr. Jack Kruse. He's a neurosurgeon and, you know, optimal health advocate guy, and he's really into quantum biology and how EMFs and Wi-Fi and cellular radiation really impact our health. And he goes into it that, I mean, there is the level of toxicity that can impact you from tattoos, but I think there's something, I don't know what they're based in. Again, I don't know enough about tattoos, but how electromagnetic fields interact with the ink in your body. Mm-hmm. And don't quote me on this. It may act as a conductor of this energy. So I think having tattoos in a 5G world, again, this is my hypothesis based on some things that I've heard, is probably not ideal. Though I think there's ways to mitigate it, and you don't want to go into the negative thinking of like, oh my God, I have tattoos. I can't survive. I'm healthy. You know what I mean?
Right. No, but I mean, there needs to be an awareness around it because it's just becoming such a thing that it's like, I know so many, and it's not just young people, it's people my age and people older than me that are like getting their first tattoos and then they decide they want sleeves and then they get addicted to it. And I do believe there are heavy metals in there and that's in the ink and that's why they'd be conductive. But so I was just curious about how you thought about that because, okay, let me see what else because it's just always on my mind. It's just,
I hear you. I'm right there with you.
I care, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's like on one side, I like the creativity and the artistic elements mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah. And very much so.
The person having sovereignty over their own body and allowed to do whatever they want. I advocate that, though there's usually two sides to most things. You know, you got to look on the flip side. And so, you know, you make a certain choice, there could be, a potential negative thing that comes from it as well. And so, again, I haven't gone deep into the science.
you don't have to explain your osmosis. I'm always curious about those, you know, things like that, because these are choices, what you talked about choices. And I'm always talking about choices because sometimes you can't, I mean, a choice has consequences, and sometimes you can't reverse a choice. And, or if you do, it's super painful to do. And I've made enough of my own choices that I'm unable to reverse or that have had negative consequences that I think we're always trying to share our wisdom with others so that others can avoid making same choices that, you know, can create an unhealthy body or unhealthy outcomes potentially. So, okay. So I do want to ask you, we talked about water, food, Wi-Fi, cell phones, how they affect the body and 5G. And if somebody, let me just, you know, I do want to ask you like, why do you think, and I know people are opening up, I believe that people are becoming much more aware and more conscious. I see that movement in what I do, but I'm surrounded by people. You know what I mean? I surround myself with people who are conscious and who are for the most part seeking, you know, to be more aware and to elevate their spirituality and to become healthier and better people. But why do you think that as people, we put our health like as the last thing, like we're always trying to be busy, make money, do this, do that. But health is always like health. My thing is health is your number one asset. So I help you to protect it, you know, self-love, self-care, those things. I'm a common sense health expert, meaning common sense stuff like drink water, get enough sleep. I mean, when you do the basics,
I love it.
Common sense is not taught any longer.
It's not so common.
It's not so common. It's very unconventional. This is where I come up with the unconventional. And so why do you think that people take their health for granted? What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I know I did until I reached a crisis point. And it's unfortunate that so many of us get to that. But it sounds like you have kind of a different journey. Mm-hmm. And why do you think that as people – we take our health for granted and put it on the back burner until there is a crisis and we don't seek somebody like you out before to take before we get to a crisis point?
Yeah, it's a lot of things. I think there's a lack of education, and you know, there's a lot of programming out there to be a certain way. You have the media, you have different industries. You're getting bombarded over the head all the time to be a certain way, to look a certain way. Things get passed down through the generations. Lack of education, starting from, you know, what do you learn from your primary caregivers? You know, how were they educated? What did they learn? What were their belief systems? You know, what did they put out into the, how did they think in regards to all this? You know, and to piggyback on what you said, right when you started talking, there's a quote that I'm not sure who said it, but I love it and it stayed with me for so long. It's, you know, people spend their health trying to achieve wealth and then they spend their wealth trying to achieve their health. And it's such a backwards priority.
Yes.
Because, you know, at the foundational level, and I'm sure you agree with me, you know, if you don't have health, you know, how can you experience art to the fullest degree? How can you even like achieve wealth? How could, you know, health is the foundation. And I think people just don't know. You know, we have these eyes that go outside, that go external. And so the external world becomes the focus and the internal world takes a back seat for most people.
Yeah.
And you know, it's beyond an individual thing. You know, people are affected like on a collective level. I think there's a lot of collective brainwashing going on. You know, I don't think, you know, I don't want to go into too out there stuff, but the powers that be, you know, people don't make money if people are healthy. You know, there are a lot of industries that are built on the foundation of people being sick, people having insecurities, people not feeling good about themselves, because it forces people to consume, consume, consume.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people are getting more hip to it, more aware to it, because of a combination of things. Social media and the internet, it has its negatives, but the positives are people have access to all sorts of information from all parts of the world. And on some level, you know, there's a tipping point. You know, things can only go so long before there's a shift. And our health in this country, and I'm not telling you things that you don't know, is that our health in this country is degenerating.
Crap.
And it's crap. And, you know, these conventional models, although they are unconventional, if you're thinking about it in terms of just a few hundred years, these more conventional mainstream models of health and medicine, you know, if they were working, people would be healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So talk about common sense. Like, it ain't working.
this is exactly why years ago I coined myself common sense health expert, because it's just not being taught in schools, like how to hydrate, when to hydrate, what kind of water. I mean, you have like, you know, I mean, it's just like so, it's our world is so crazy, and putting the cell phones up to your ear and putting like guys putting it in their pockets and girls in their back pockets. And it's yeah, affecting their ability to procreate. So, you know,
Wi-Fi under your next to your bed.
It's crazy. And so, I just try and do just little bits into the world and just show a little bit of common sense wherever I can. And you're part of my common sense today.
I'm so grateful to like be here and talk with you. And I love the work that you're doing. It's, I mean, yeah, common sense needs to become more common.
It really does. It's
really
very uncommon. So how can Eurosimos, how can people contact you if they want to follow you? You have a Facebook page. Do you have a website?
Yeah, I think the best way is to connect with me on Facebook, because I like to post lots of articles about health on Facebook and share things.
I love your, sorry to interrupt, but I love your Facebook page.
No worries. Thank you. Yeah, it's just, I guess, facebook.com/Eurosimos, which is Yerasimos. Instagram is the other area as well. It's at Healing with Eurosimos, which is healing with, and then Eurosimos, Yerasimos. Yerasimos. And my website is www.healingwithyerasimos.com. It's a very real general one page kind of intro email. I'm sorry, intro address. Intro website. And my email as well is healingwithyerasimos@gmail.com. But that's the best way for people to follow me. I work traditionally outside of my home. I work in Santa Monica, close to Venice. I do go out to Arizona, Phoenix, Costa area. Occasionally I have some clients there. I have clients in New York City, Europe, but primarily it's California. And so people do fly in sometimes for intensives where I'll work with them, you know, twice a day for 3 days and really go deep into the work. But yeah, those are the ways to connect with me. And I love to connect with people and I love to answer questions. Because we're all in this together.
Exactly.
And supporting one another. And
is there a professional organization for people to find if they are unable to connect with you or in their local town where they can find people who do what you do? And
you know, the way that I do the work, it's kind of an integration of various things I've learned. I had a mentor that I met when I first moved to Los Angeles, and he showed me some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of tricky.
So you're specialized.
Yeah, I'm kind of specialized, I would say, because okay. I want to tackle things on the physical level, but the psycho-emotional and spiritual level. There's some verbal energetic clearing work that I'll do in my sessions, depending on if people call for it. Again, it depends on the person, where they are, how open they are. But I do recommend people to really work at home on their own tissues and utilize tools like a hard medicine ball or lacrosse balls or PVC pipes to slowly roll out their tissues. I know I mentioned it earlier, but there's, again, just because I tend not to vouch or advocate, be an advocate for a lot of things unless I think they're really powerful and cutting edge.
Uh-huh.
And functional patterns is a really great system. Again, it's different to what I do, but they work under the same philosophy as that, like your tissue health and your structural health is really, really important. And they have a 10-week online program. And the first 3 weeks of that are just guidance on using tools and getting deep into your tissues. So that's what I would say there. The website for that is functionalpatterns.com.
Oh, functionalpatterns.
And it's got more of like a fitness rehabilitation kind of vibe to it.
Uh-huh.
But again, you know, I have some friends who are practitioners and they're reversing scoliosis and altering posture. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And they're working with fascia in terms of understanding these fascial meridians and how they connect the whole body back to what you were saying, earlier in your thing. So that's one way. And I would say any other deep body work that they can find, you know, there's a lot of shiatsu. Now, again, it's going to be different to what I do, but I'd rather have a person get deep work done on themselves than not get any work.
Exactly. And especially like that trauma release, what you do. I think that's really important to do. So
it's really, really important. The deep physical work combined with the breathing, I think, is what separates what I do from other modalities. Mm-hmm. And it's powerful. Breath, deep physical work.
You've mentioned the breath. And before we end, when you talk about breath, what breath work are you talking about? Are you like?
So the breath that I do in my practice, it's let's say I'm walking on someone and they have high pain levels, like 7, 8, they kind of tune in at, and I'll have them breathe something like this and they can breathe through their nose or through their mouth, whatever's comfortable for them. Mm-hmm. But it's like, and there's different sounds I use depending on the meridians that I'm walking on, because different Chinese meridians have different sounds associated with them. So the sound of the bladder channel, which is the foundational work, has a sound of CHU. And again, it can be really intense. As you're getting walked on and you're feeling pain and you're breathing like that, it's powerful stuff. Now, other things I recommend you may have heard of that I'm a fan of is the Wim Hof method, which he's known as the Iceman, and he combines breath therapy with cold therapy and mindfulness training. And again, I think that can be very powerful as well. So again, there's a lot of things out there I like to get into. I'm pretty unconventional like you. What's cutting edge? What's challenging the status quo? And what's creating results and showcasing results? And that's what I look for. It's like, how does a person look and feel after using a certain modality, for even if it's just one session or a multiple sessions? It's really important, I think.
Love it.
Getting those personal testimonials.
Erasmus, I love you, and I really appreciate you taking time to share your experiences and your expertise with people and teach people to be better and to be their highest selves and feel better and look better and, you know, from posture to physical to mental, spiritual, all those things are just so, so key to living a really good, happy, best life. So thank you so very mucho.
Yeah, de nada. Thank you. Okay, I'm getting my Spanish down. But no, thank you so much. Such a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you for the time and thank you for the work that you do. I mean, you can tell because you're glowing and you're radiant right now. So
very happy. Yeah. So thank you, Erasmus.
Thanks for listening to the Wild and Free Healthy You podcast. I appreciate you so incredibly mucho. Make sure you always take care of you first because your health is your number one asset. To listen to more podcasts, check out LennyMotivates.com and follow me on Instagram at LennyMotivates. Don't forget to share them with your family and friends. Remember to always be your biggest fan and your biggest cheerleader because no one can love you more than you can. Take care of you. Ciao.